Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm saying this with all humility. Listen to me very well. If God called you into the ministry, and it is a ministry of reconciliation, this is the vindication. William Branham said, among the evidence of a genuine call, among them, he said, there will be the evident fruit of the ministry. And the evident fruit of the ministry is not the crowd that are following you. The evidence that God is with us here is not that we are the biggest inter-message church, maybe in Africa. Maybe even the whole world, because I don't know who else, which other inter-message gather the crowd we gather like this around the world. There are always little groups. It is the French-speaking East Africa that you can see 10,000 members, 5,000 members. The least, if a church is small, is 1,000 members in Congo, in all those East African countries. The message was received there. It is more popular than any denomination in East Africa. The ministry of William Branham. Now, the vindication is not the number of people that have gathered here. The vindication, evident fruit of the ministry. What did God call me to do? Hallelujah. I see many of you who will say that I receive power, this and that, about ministry and things like that. I had cause to tell somebody. I said the evidence that God has called you is that you preach to somebody. The person believed you and is converted by your message. That is number one evidence. That somebody gets converted after hearing your message. The most powerful gift that is in the scripture is the gift of the power to preach. And God uses what you say for people to convert. William Branham's ministry, while we speak about so many miracles, signs and wonders, what William Branham continued to speak about was the conversion that people got converted in his ministry. He went to Durban in South Africa and he said, one crusade he had, he said 35,000 people gave their life to Christ. 35,000. One crusade. Peter on the day of Pentecost, no miracle. Nothing. No. 3,000 after a very short sermon. In the house of Cornelius, he was just explaining who Jesus Christ is. Why Peter yet spake? The power came down. Don't shift your attention from that. If God has called you, He has called us into the ministry of reconciliation. My greatest joy is to see somebody who came across this ministry and your spiritual life gets better. You get converted. We know better. The crowd is not vindication. If not, the Catholic Church will be number one church in heaven. It's not crowd. It is what you produce. And in this church here, they are listening to me. And I know many are not converted. But I can also say many are converted. Both hearing us on our broadcast and sitting down here. And I know many of you that your spiritual life has improved. Has improved. Your relationship with Christ has improved. How? By signs and wonders? No, by what you are hearing. If the words I speak, they are not my words, then it will produce an effect. And the effect is the effect of conversion. And what is conversion? What is the evidence that you are converted, that you are saved? Is what we have been trying to say all this while. And let me tell you why I'm emphasizing this message. Because I have noticed something. I have noticed that there are two groups of Christians. Two groups of Christians that I have come across. Those who serve God with it doesn't matter. As far as outward appearance is concerned. Listen to me very well. Those who say it doesn't matter and all, but you know, as far as their outward appearance is concerned, it doesn't matter, but they believe they are saved. And the second group are those who believe they are saved. Praise God. Now, let me go to that first group first. They believe that salvation is not by your dress, and that your actions prove your salvation, especially as it comes to working for the advancement of the kingdom and demonstration of brotherly love. They specialize in that, but the outward appearance is as worldly as anything else can be. Then the second group are those who say we are the restored. We are the holiness believing churches. And I'm speaking here including Bride Assembly, Deeper Life, Choosing. Who again? Holiness believing church. I say including Bride Assembly. So if you say I mention your church, it reflects. I mention my own too. Now listen. I discovered that, praise the Lord, I discovered that those who wear, among those who appear clean, no makeup, no painting, no palming, no short dress, they cover everything. When you see them from far, you will say, this one are SU, this one are deeper. Among them, there are more wicked people found among them than the other group. I have found out more wicked people found among those who dress turtleneck, sister. Their shoes are only bathroom slippers and they use. More wicked people are found in that group than the doesn't matter group. The reason is this. The reason is very simple. The reason is, among the doesn't matter group, what distinguishes them from other people who dress like that and prostitute is brotherly love. Love of God. Given. Compassion. You know, which prostitute will not do. So they do that and use their actions and things like that to differentiate themselves. So if you dress like a prostitute and it will stand you out. So bad people cannot hide there easily. But it is easier for them to hide among those witches, wizards. All forgiveness is in this group. With turtleneck. They don't wear sleeveless. They wear polo. They don't open their hair. 24 hours their hair is covered. Yet, unforgiveness, wickedness, every evil is found among them. I didn't say all. I say among them. Because it is easier to hide there. That is why it is necessary that I tell you the evidence of conversion. Let's say in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We read Matthew 11:28. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, when you come to Christ, you come to receive an experience. I preached a message years ago that I titled, Christ is an experience. When you come to Christ, you have come to receive an experience. It's not just a decision to be good. It's not about changing a church. Don't change your church until you have left that church and the new church you have gone now, something happens to you. You receive an experience that gets you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. If not, you have changed a church in vain. Christ is an experience. Come to me and I will do something. I will give you. I'll give you something. I want to challenge somebody so that if you have not had that experience, you begin to desire it. Pray for it. And be ready for it. Because he said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So if you come to me, he has assured you of that experience. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's an experience that comes only when you open up yourself. You have to open your heart. He does not force anybody. Behold, I stand at the door. Revelation 3:20. And knock. Whosoever will open the door. Open the door. It's not the door of your house where you are living. It's the door of the house of your soul. And that's why I explained to you that when you come to Christ, you come. You want to give your life to Christ? Come to me. Then you come to him. Then you kneel down in your room, wherever you are. Hallelujah. There is a difference between giving your life to Christ and receiving Christ. There's a difference between giving your life to Christ and receiving him. When he say, come to me, you have come. You are expected to come and give yourself to him. When you come and give yourself to him, then he will also give himself to you. Now, you can only receive him if you open your heart to receive him. And you are not to receive him with conditions. And so he stands. Anybody that comes to your house, for instance, and knocks to enter, and he says, he's your brother, he's your sister, he's your father, he's your mother, and then you open the door. But before you open the door, before he enters, you begin to give him rules on how you will stay in my house. Will that person feel received by you? See that this parlor, no open fridge, no enter kitchen, no. See, this is the seat you sit down. This, only this area, waka only this area. Don't touch the way my cloth. Don't touch my pami. Don't touch my attachment. Don't touch the cloth where they wear, because when I wear trousers, it, after all, it is not what I wear. Have I not opened my heart? Come, I'll be speaking in tongue now. So make it end for speaking in tongue. Any other thing, leave me. I'll give you my tithe. I'll give you my offering. I will sponsor. That's so. Leave me like this. That is the kind of condition people give Christ. So you have not yet received him. He will not enter. Because when he comes to you, he does not want condition. So he stays there. Enter now, you don't enter. Every day he's knocking. Bah, 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 bah. And the harder he knocks, the more violent you fall under anointing. And then he's falling, you are falling under anointing, and everybody is thinking that you have received the Holy Ghost. You have not yet received the Holy Ghost. Why will we know you have received the Holy Ghost? It is the life that you live after you have received that experience. It will show whether he has entered fully or not. The way you should receive him is to open your heart and then tell him, oh God Jesus, take over. And should they do what you want to do for inside, though, remember this area also. I am a fornicator. I am very greedy. I don't lie too much. You are to tell him the area he should even concentrate more. Not to tell him the area he should not go. And then you see people, the Lord is standing and knocking at the door of your heart. That is where you receive that manifestation. And you are not ready. Each time I have told you this before, and I will continue to emphasize it. Because this little mystery that everybody should know is overlooked. That somebody falls under anointing and stands up and goes, and there is nothing that has reflected conversion, a change, a Christ-like life, a life that Christ can be seen in you. Your old nature remains the same. The question is, what was he doing with the anointing he was giving you? And can I quickly add, although we say that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, we say it, yes, but let me tell you now that the rain that is falling among the bride is the latter rain. It is the homegoing rain. It is the harvesting rain. I want to believe that if you get caught up with this entire message, and you come across a ministry like this, and you begin to receive an experience, I want to believe it is because your name is in the book of life. God has no time to waste with anybody again. All that anointing they play in the denomination, that is for them. Among us here now, the anointing that comes upon you comes only upon those whose names are written in the book of life. And that is why it is only in this ministry you will see God come to change somebody, to force you, to allow him to come into your life and do a work. Because he said his spirit, he will not strive with anyone. Then why is he every time arresting you in your room during fellowship? It's because your name is in the book of life. And everyone whose name is there must be saved. And you run away from a place like this to go back to your vomit, he will make sure your life is miserable until you come back. And when you come back again, he will start the same thing that made you to run away, he will start again. And what you're supposed to do is just open your heart. Just open your heart. Now, when he comes in, praise the Lord, there are two things he does. The manifestation of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit are easily confused. There is the manifestation of the Spirit, and that is the gifts. That is the gifts. Then we have the fruit of the Spirit, and our emphasis is not the manifestation, it is the fruit. Why? The manifestation of the Spirit is God's hand, his gift. Psalm 68, verse 18. Can we open it? Psalm 68, verse 18. What does it say? It's very interesting there, if you can catch it. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. He received gifts for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell even among rebellious people. So the gift of the Holy Ghost, the manifestation of the gifts, they are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Can we read it from verse 7? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. That is the manifestation of the Spirit by these 9 spiritual gifts. And what is it? So that he, God, may dwell among both his people and the unbelievers. So, these gifts can operate under a woman ministry. These gifts can operate in a Catholic church if they allow him. Anywhere they allow him, he will flow. Even a fornicator pastor can manifest healing, working on miracle. Now, but where we get confused is that we think that those gifts, they are evidence of salvation. They are not the evidence of salvation. Rain fall on the just and the unjust. So all of us that see vision, all of us that do deliverance, those of us who stand here and preach, those of us who do mighty miracles, signs and wonders, praise God. It is to the glory of God. But don't use that to judge whether you are now saved or not. It is dangerous. What is the evidence of salvation? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33 to verse 35. This is the way the Lord Jesus himself put it. He said, either make a tree good. A tree, make the tree good and his fruit good. This fruit here is using it to describe every believer. God came to make this tree called Moses Alu good and his fruit good. The fruit, a good tree with good fruit, the fruit will be edible. Okay, let's read on. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit what? Corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. 34. They told them, oh generation of vipers. He was talking to religious people. Holiness Pharisees. How can you be evil, speak good, speak good things? He said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. For out of the abundance of the heart, whatever is in your heart, that your mouth will bring forth. So, a tree is known by her fruit. And who is he talking about? He's talking at the trees that are sitting down here now listening to me. Are you a good tree or a bad tree? He said a tree, make it bad and the fruit bad, or make it good and the fruit good. There is something that will make you bad. And there is something that will make you good. And it is the thing that makes you bad that will bring forth bad fruit from you. And it is the thing that makes you good that will bring forth good fruit from you. We are talking about the Holy Ghost and we are talking about Satan, the devil. And they are all spirits. Which spirit is in you? We will confirm it by the fruit that you live. One of it, Galatians chapter 5. Can we open it? Verse 19. Let's read it up to verse 25. They call it the works of the flesh. Because Satan works on your flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now, this is how you will know which spirit is in you. Adultery is a fruit. Am I correct? They call it the works of the flesh. It's also a fruit. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idols. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. It's not talking to unbelievers. So it's talking if you have this, you are sitting down in the church because you receive a spirit. Because people come to church to be converted. Listen. I will say it all. Listen. Because this salvation is a mystery. You all lifted your hand up to receive an anointing after 21 days fasting. That is another mystery. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read it. Before I continue, Galatians chapter 5. We must be better than we are now. Because you can only be better if you have something to check your life by. That's what this message is supposed to be for you. So that you will hold this message and use it to check yourself. Nobody person will tell you whether you go heaven or you go hell. Whether you are deceiving yourself or not. That's what I want to use this message for every believer to use as a mirror. Use it and judge yourself, including myself. I will use it to judge myself. Now, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. Now listen. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God. You have heard the message. And the powers of the world to come by the operation of the gifts in your life. If they shall fall away. Correct reading of that scripture is it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now this is where the mystery is, verse 7 and verse 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh up upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. After they have received the blessing, verse 8. But that which bringeth thorns and briars, beareth thorns and briars, after the rain has come, you begin to now manifest what is in you, and you begin to manifest thorns and briars. What is done to them? It is rejected. Despite all the anointing, despite all the manifestation, but the fruit is thorns and briars. No farmer is going to harvest thorns and briars despite the rain that fell. And is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned in the lake of fire. So there will be people that receive the Holy Ghost, anointing, and they will still go to the lake of fire. Why? Instead of manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, they manifested the works of the flesh, bearing thorns and prayers. Yet, they received that same grace all of us received. Why? What group allowed the Holy Ghost to walk on them? The other one refused the Holy Ghost to walk on them. They just love the gift because of what they will gain by the gift. And they will do everything to retain the gift because of what they will gain. But they have no time for that same anointing to do a work of conversion in them. But there's another group that will allow it to go that far. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5. I don't know which verse we are reading. Hallelujah. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not certainly inherit the kingdom. Now, is it no foolishness on your part that you want to go to heaven? And the Bible is clear about those who will go and those who will not go. And you still find yourself doing those same things that the Bible and signposts have told you, you cannot go. And you are busy deceiving yourself. I'm on my way to glory land. You have your girlfriend at home. If you won't go, don't hinder me. Where we are jumping, you too, you will be jumping. Sitting down. I'm talking of this ministry. I am obligated to this ministry. Now they talk to her. Sitting down here, I'm telling you, if you miss heaven, it will not be because you did not hear the truth. It was because you decided you will go to heaven. You will not go to heaven. Because I will give account of all I spoke, all I did in my own ministry. He said he has told them before. It means Apostle Paul kept telling them, these people, oh, you will not inherit. These people, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He told the Galatians, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That one. He also told the Corinthians also their own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 9 and verse 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Evidence of salvation. Evidence of salvation. Be not deceived. It means you can deceive yourself. That you can live anyhow and still go to heaven. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, he repeated it, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of them with mankind, same-sex marriage, homosexuals, and lesbians, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That is to the Corinthians, and that is to the Lagosians also. As to Bride Assembly. Right here. Hallelujah. You are partaker of this. You know, I am saying this not to condemn you. I'm saying this for you to repent. It's a very merciful God. That you are still alive is because he loves you. And that you have opportunity to hear what I'm saying now. It's giving you a second chance because you don't know what may happen after now. Oh, that is the truth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 1 John chapter 4. John again spoke his own. Verse 7 and verse 8. The fruit, the evidence of salvation. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Do you know God? Hallelujah. The evidence, it will be expressed by love. If you know God, you will love God. And what is the evidence that you love God? It says, he that loveth he that begat, loveth he that is begotten also. John says so. That is, if you love my Father, you will love me also. You cannot love my Father and hate me, his son. Apostle John taught us that. You cannot love God and hate his children. And that is evidence that you love God. You will love also his children. All you have is a hatred and hatred and hatred. I am telling you, you don't know God. Verse 8. What does it say in verse 8? Hallelujah. It says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. God is love. Praise the Lord. In John chapter 15, emphasis of salvation is the fruit that you bear. That's exactly what Jesus Christ was saying from verse 1 in John chapter 15. From verse 1 up to verse 6, he said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit, what does he do? He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, you see, this is the one that is very difficult to understand. He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, and that is the one that needs a little explanation. When the Bible says, he that he loves, he chastens. William Branham was making a comment concerning the way he was preaching. You know, the more that man preached, the more carnal these American people were going into. One time, he preached a message that he titled Indictment. And he was at the altar crying with tears. Because his expectation, what he was seeing, fell short of his expectation. You see? And so he would scream, and he would scream, and he would scream, and especially the women. And he had to tell the women one time, he said, do you think I hate you? He said, I don't hate women. I have a wife that I love so much. He said, you can confirm how much I love her. He said, I don't hate you. And then he explained a vision that he saw. He said, in the vision, the angel said he should come and see a preview of the bride. Then the vision broke forth. Some of you have read it. He said, this is the German church. He said, so awful looking women pass. A woman, the church is described spiritually, symbolized by a woman. It was women. Those are the church in Germany. He said they were very awful dressed, pass. See the British one, they pass. Country by country, he said that is the church. Then he said, the angel said, now watch the American church. He said they were the most awful. He said some were naked, some were with high heels. They were walking and mincing and walking and mincing and looking at them. He said, then in that revelation, he started crying. Hey, for how many years we have been praying? Is this what we produce? He was crying. And the angel said, no, wait. He said, that is the American church, not the bride. He said, now watch the bride. Hallelujah. He said, then he saw them passing. He said, well dressed. He said, covered up. With very long hair, well covered up, and they were marching in a single line, very orderly. Unlike the American church that was disorganized. Hey man, hi, hey man. And then they were going like that, that he nearly collapsed, thinking that God was telling him, you have achieved nothing. And he told him, watch. He said they were in a single line, and they were marching, and they were going. Then he said, he said, suddenly, he saw one sister jump out of the line. And then he screamed, come on, get back online. Come on, get back online. And the vision passed. Then he understood why he was shouting the way he was shouting. To get you back online. And the same spirit is upon me to get you back online. Back online. Back online. Back online. Come back to life. We are an orderly church. And we are not orderly by the way you sit in the church service. We are talking about spiritual orderliness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 2. John 15, where we are reading. He said, every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. That is why you see, when you a true child of God, you go off the way God will descend on you. He doesn't care with that prostitute. He doesn't even care with that minister that is full of lasciviousness and every worldliness. He doesn't care with him because his end has been concluded, but not you. He doesn't care with all these denominational people selling anointing up and down. Their end has been concluded, but for you, the true seed of God, brother, and then you step out and you enter beer parlor to drink beer. Bride of Jesus Christ, you are not entitled to alcohol except on the Lord's table. Watch what God will use that alcohol to do with you. You sneak out. You look left, look right. No brother, no sister. You forgot there is an all-seeing eye watching you. Watching you.
Watching you.
Every day mind that calls you pursue. Watching you. Watching you. There's an unseen eye. Watching you. But the truth is, human beings fear fellow human beings more than they fear God. You don't want man to see you, but you don't care if God is seeing you. And that is why there is something around you called secret sin. Secret to who? To man, but not to God. And you are a true seed of God, and you step out of the line of order to go and commit fornication. If you are a true seed of God, see what God will do with you. He will do it that when eventually he come out a hand for your life, you won't try that again. He purges you, verse 2. He purges you that you might bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. Now, he said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is another message. What is it that clean you up? Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. Eh? Holy Ghost fire. What is it that cleans you up? Ephesians chapter 5. He says that he might wash you with the washing of the water by the word. The word of God is the water that he uses to sanctify us. Sanctification is the process of cleaning us up, cleaning our life. John 17 verse 17. Can we read it quickly before we come back to John chapter 15? John 17 verse 17. This is his prayer for his disciples, to the Father. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It is thy word that sanctifies. You can never become a Christian and stop committing sin by going to the mountain and doing dry fasting. Lie. And watch it. Amen. That's why our brothers and our sisters that cannot read the Bible, they cannot read the Bible. Amen. Watch it. They misplace something. They are not literate to study. Most of them who are not literate enough to study, they cannot read. They fall within this category most. And then they are gifted. Watch them. Without their gift, very wicked. Very, very wicked. I'm telling you, look, we are pastors. Some things that we hear. Oh, Jesus. The only way that God you know, comfort somebody like me is, after I have had that one, when my heart is bleeding, telephone will ring. Then, and it has always been the pattern, somebody will call me, Pastor, God will bless you. Your messages have changed my life. I say, hey, this one here, thank God. Oh, brother, sister, God bless you. God bless you. God used that one to heal me. And watch it. That group, when it is time for the preaching of the word, they have no time to listen. They are not interested, but they can fast. Every mountain in Nigeria, they know the location. They can pray. And because you pray a prayer without a scriptural foundational base, before you know what, they are the ones that pray witchcraft prayer and think they are praying righteous prayer. Let me say something, church. Listen. Listen, church. Listen. Listen very well. There is denominational hangover. That you came here and some of the things you imbibe in your denomination, you don't want to drop. People who came into the message from Mountain of Fire, all prayer they know now, wicked, wicked prayer. Father and die. Father and die. Father and die. Yes. I've told you, it's very easy to know where you come from. Which church you came from. May you receive deliverance in the name of Jesus. Listen. Everything we do, carnal people will hijack it. We believe in prophetic action. Listen. We say, bring mirror. Hey! Everybody will become evangelist that day. You'll be telling your neighbor, bring padlock, oh. We want to padlock, oh. Bring padlock, oh. Bring mirror. Every church member will evangelize their family. Come, oh, come, oh. When you come, finish. We're going to sit down, we ministers, we're going to laugh. We're going to tell Pastor Thomas, we say, oh, you are ready to catch fish. Oh, you are ready to catch fish. They don't come. They don't come. They don't come. Then when they sit down, then we will give them the word. We give them the word. We give them the message. We give them the message. Give them the message. We give them the message. It's not the doctrine. It's not for everybody now. Anybody that has problem, you say, bring mirror. Tell me any of you that has ever come to me for deliverance and I say, bring anything. Bring sand. It's because they misunderstand. Carnal people are hijacking our fishing baits that we use here for evangelism. You don't need to bring padlock before that nonsense will be broken. After all, when you bring the padlock, it is still the power of the spoken word that will deliver you. Oh, glory be to God. The power of the spoken word. The power of the spoken word. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't make a doctrine of it. Of course, this is a prophetic ministry. If God tells you to do that, that's understandable. But you don't begin to use it as a means of all your prayers. It's because you don't know the power of this word of God. When you take this word of God and give voice to it, you don't know the power that goes with it. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Take note of that, church. And don't be caught up with this celestial spirit. Why? The word of God is what will cleanse you. It is the word that you receive. Nobody receives salvation by taking poor. When you fall down, then you say, I receive Christ. Always, there is something you hear that God uses to get you born again. A woman can only bring forth a child when she receives seed from the man. Life is formed in the womb of that woman from the seed he received from the man. Hallelujah. Let that man lie down, they play, they touch that woman, they play, they joke, they play from morning till night. If he does not pass seed there, there will be no life that will be brought forth. So also it is. Apostle Peter said, we are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. The word of God, if it is the word that is preached, you receive that word into your own heart. Into your own heart, your own soul. When that word takes root there, then it works in life of Christ inside of you. Praise the Lord. That's why Apostle John said, he that is born of God does not commit sin. He said, why? Because his seed, the seed that got you born again, remained in you. That seed is the word of God. I have hidden in my heart. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. No fasting, no mountain, no anointing that can get you born again. But the word that we receive is what cleanses us. Somebody is hearing the word now, and somebody is deciding to change now. Not because of an anointing, but because of what you have heard. Evidence of salvation. Bow down your head. We continue next time. Just bow down your head wherever you are. This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord. Oh, this is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Oh, give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. Sing anointing.
Joy in my life.
Oh, come up my head to throw. Oh, give me the power to do your will. Anointing
in my
life, over my head to toe. Oh, give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. Sing anointing. Oh Lord, cover my head to toe. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray. Now, as you bow down your head, I say something very wrong. Not to belittle you. I say it for you to give more consideration. You see, this heaven we must go. We have no option. We have known too much to be left behind. We are of the day, not of the night. Apostle Paul says so. while the light is still shining, but the light will soon go off. Why not allow yourself to be ripened by the Son of God? Maybe I've said anything that has suddenly caused you to realize you are careless with your Christian life. It's just opportunity for you to amend and make right. That's all. Make right. Make right. If your name is not in the book of life, you won't be hearing what you are hearing now. You won't even come to a ministry like this. You are watching us on this broadcast. You will change this channel. But there's something we are saying. There's a deep calling to the deep. And you are the deep. There is a response in your heart. There's a response. You know what I am saying is the truth. Then why not just allow him to have his way? See, but right on your seat there, you can tell God something. A decision you are making now to help you to live a life pleasing before him. To walk his walk of salvation, of redemption. Lord, my heart is open. I know you come knocking every day. I have not given you time. Complete your work of salvation in my life. Over and again, I give you my life. Over and again, I give you my soul. That's between you and God. That's between you and God. It's my own personal prayer also. I didn't say I have arrived. I am talking to myself also. Oh Lord. Oh Lord, I give you my soul. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Now you dedicate yourself again. Now he has been standing at your door knocking. Now open and tell him now, come inside and take over. Somebody, totally take over. Totally take over. Totally take over.
Lord, I give you my soul. Lord, I give you my all. Lord, I give you my all. Over and again. Over and again. I belong to you.
Over and again. Oh Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As I pray for you, you want to be remembered. Just lift up your hand wherever you are sitting. Just say, Lord, I have made a decision today. Lord, help me. Let that person lift up your hand on your seat. He sees you wherever you are. He sees your heart. Lord, I know you have been talking to me. You have been warning me. You've been standing at the door of my heart and knocking every time. But I've been giving you condition. I've been giving you condition. I want to marry first before I obey you fully. I want to make some money first before I will stop this stupid business I am doing. I want to make some money first before I do your will. I want to do this, I want to do that first. But now, Lord, I repent. If you are that person, you are lifting up your hand, he's seen you. My Father, my God. They are lifting up their hands. My own hand too is lifted up. We all need a touch from you. Our hearts are open, Lord. Come in and do your work. Your work of conversion. Your work of salvation. Do your work that will make me Christ-like. Do your work that you will come and find me pleasing before you. Take over my life. Take over our lives, Lord. That's what we're lifting up our hands for. Do something that our spiritual life will be better than it has been, Father, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. From today, the Lord will give you another experience. An experience that will bring you closer to the cross of Jesus Christ. I hand over all these who have lifted up their hands before you, Lord, I hand them over unto you. For they are the reason why you have caused me to say certain things today. And may we see this manifested in the fruits that they will bear from today in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we put our hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. Tell everybody around you, you must go to heaven. Tell them boldly, you must go to heaven. You must go to heaven. Whether you like it or not, you must go to heaven. Tell them. You must go to heaven.